Unfortunately,
Pastor will not be with us this evening, so I will be.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. Excuse me. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. And you can also call in your prayer requests at the same number. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen? Praise be to God. At this time, I would like to say a short prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Praise be to God. Lord, our defense, my shield belongs to you because you are my defense. You are all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever ready to stand in defense of those who fear you and put their trust in you. At the blast of your breath, you are able to separate waters, as you did for the Israelites when they crossed the Red Sea. With your powerful voice, you are able to still the storm, as you did on the Sea of Galilee. All matters succumbs to your command, and nothing that pursues me, whether it has to do with my finances, health, work, or relationship, can overtake me when I trust in you as my defense. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah. the Lord and praise Him back. He's worthy of our praise. Begin to worship His name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before Him. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name.
Lord, our defense. I often say that you are my defense. But when my back is up against the wall, I quickly look for someone or something else to bail me out. When my emotions are untested and calm, I acclaim your virtues all day long. Yet when my face with trials, and tribulations, I tend to jump ship and try to swim for shore rather than trust your power to save me. Forgive me for getting so easily that you truly are my defense. And forgive me for seeking to justify and vindicate myself rather than allowing you to do so. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you
my defense. Thank you for your ready defense. Thank you for always being on the alert. Thank you for not sitting far away and making yourself unreachable to me. As our military is sent to retaliate against terrorism directed at innocent people's lives, you also rise up when I am unfairly treated. Your very presence assures me of your love, and I am grateful for the times when you have vindicated me publicly. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call in at 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Amen. And you can also call in your prayer requests at the same number. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am Alpha Omega.
consider when God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby. She laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but
I am.
And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
Can bring you out no matter what it looks like.
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be peace.
I am.
Amen. Now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message, which is entitled, Every Time You Affirm Your Trust in Me. And my first scripture reading is coming from Psalms 33, verses 20 through 21. And it says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Amen. And my second scripture reading is coming from Psalms 56, verses 3 through 4. And it says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God, I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Amen. And my third scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. And it says, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Praise be to God. Again, the title of this message is Every Time You Affirm Your Trust in Me. You put a coin into my treasury. Thus you build up equality equality in preparation for days of trouble. Equity, excuse me. Thus you build up equity in preparation for days of trouble. I keep safely in my heart all trust invested in me, with interest compounded continuously. The more you trust me, the more I empower you to do so. Practice trusting me during quiet days when nothing much seems to be happening. Then, when storms come, your trust balance will be sufficient to see you through. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven through placing your trust in me. This practice will keep you in my peace. To God be the glory, and I hope and pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you, as it is always to me. Amen. Praise God. Lord of my defense, when I'm falsely accused by someone out of jealousy, resentment, or any other reason, I pray you will quickly reveal the lie behind the accusation and silence those who seek to do me harm. I seek your kingdom and the advancement of your will on earth, and I pray you will keep at bay those who try to dissuade me from living a life of fruitfulness for you. Be my defense against Satan, the father of lies, not only in my own mind by reminding me of your trust, but your truth, but also when others believe the twisted lies he tries to spread about me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson in basic theology. Amen. Praise be to God.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. I'm moving upward and I
Lord, your Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer lives and that you have sent redemption to me, your child, through your Son, Jesus Christ. You have ordained your covenant and all of your purposes will stand. You formed me for a purpose and you have called me by my name. Great and holy is your name. You are the God who works wonders, and by your power, you redeem people to yourself. You are the first and the last. There is no other God besides you. None of those who take refuge in you will be lost. I praise you because you have redeemed me and delivered me time and time again from the hand of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us. And be our God, and we are your people. Let's be like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem,
the problem may be,
he's in control,
he's in control, and he knows
yep,
everything.
I have the victory cause,
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him and I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
he's in control,
he's in control, and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
Him I live, I move,
in
and
him I live, I move, and have my king.
Say like the best of people.
Best of
come
peace.
On, lift them up with you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God bless you.
Amen. The Lord, your Redeemer. Forgive me for taking your redemption too lightly and not living in the light of that truth. I confess my lack of understanding of all the dangers you have rescued me from. Where my eyes to be completely open, as they will be one day. I know the full extent of your redemption, or if you were to give me insight, just as you gave to Elisha's servant when he saw the armies of your angels ready and able to defend them against the king of Aram. I would give you the praise you truly deserve. Forgive my lack of total comprehension of how you redeemed me each day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Come Thank you.
Wonderful.
And won't
complain.
Beautiful. Yes. All right, so we're going to get started. Is anyone else on the line with us?
No, ma'am. Well, except all for right. our people on Facebook and stuff.
But no, I wasn't talking about them.
Yeah, I just spoke with
Sister Coates. She said she might join. She's not sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with Jacob. He said he's too busy.
Okay.
I am going to open in prayer.
Amen.
Head bowed, precious and heavenly Father. It's once more and again, a few of your humble servants come to you with heads bowed and humble hearts. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. Thank you for this 10th day of January 2023. Some made it and some didn't make it, but we thank you for your giving us life, for your reviving us again. We thank you, Lord God. Bless our families and our friends and our enemies, too. I ask that you go by the jails and the military units and in the wars and in the hospitals. And, Lord, help the nurses, in especially that they're now in the midst of a strike. Just help them, Lord God. I pray that whatever they're seeking will be given to them in this situation, that if they don't get it all, that they will get enough, that they will come back to work and help the sick and afflicted ones, because they need it. So we thank you in advance for doing just that, and thy will be done. Lord God, we thank you for your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy, your compassion, your favor, all of your benefits, Lord God. We thank you for everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of those things, Lord. We thank you because we know it's your will and we know that you're in charge. So, God, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. But I thank you. I love you. I adore you. I'm grateful. Thank you for Evangelist Hilda and all that she does. Bless her. Keep her. Cover her. Heal her, Lord God. Make a way for her. And we will be ever so grateful. So, Lord, we want to just say thank you again for everything. Bless everybody that's even thought about this line tonight or another night or just period thought about us. Thank you for that. We love you, Lord. Can't do anything without you. And all these blessings I ask in the matchless name. And go by the juvenile hall, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And just thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' matchless name, we love you. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer. And I receive that in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Be to God.
So we're going to continue our lesson, chapter 39, The Christian and Sin. We left off at section D and talking about the devil. So we're going to pick it up right from there. All right. Having already discussed Satan, we mentioned here only a few reminders of his work in attacking believers. His strategy is planned. Satan devises methods, uses strategies, and employs all the craftiness of a superhuman creature to trap the unbeliever, 2 Corinthians 2:11 and Ephesians 6:11. Number two, his strategy is persistent. What does that mean?
It doesn't stop. He don't stop.
Right.
He doesn't continue going on and on.
He does not stop. He's always seeking a way to get in and trap us up.
Yes.
He doesn't stop.
Absolutely.
And when things like that happen, people say, well, the devil's on his job. You know, that's what he's supposed to do. That's what he does. So Satan devises methods. I'm sorry. He continually stalks the believer, waiting for the right moment to attack. Hold on one second. Thank you.
No problem.
I left off at part two. Well, part three. His strategy is powerful. What does that mean?
whatever he tried to tempt you with is strong and powerful. And he won't he flitters right on in there.
Well, I mean, we have to ask him to flee from us.
Yes.
We have to rebuke him. All right? And so the believer must wrestle in hand-to-hand combat against Satan, never underestimating his power. Ephesians 6 and 12. And 1 John 6, 4 and 4, and Jude 9. So we're going to get ready to read that. Starting at 2 Corinthians 2 and 11.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 2 and 11 says, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Okay, let me see.
Yeah.
10 says, okay, I'd like to read the verse before. When you forgive this man, I forgive you. I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Amen. Praise be to God.
Yes, Lord. And mine is starting at 9. It says, the focus of my letter wasn't on punishing the offender, but on getting you to take responsibility for the health of the church. So if you forgive him, I forgive him. Don't think I'm carrying around a list of personal grudges. The fact is that I'm joining in with your forgiveness as Christ is with us, guiding us. After all, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet another mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. So we don't want to give him an opening for his more mischief. Because we know
the
sly ways. And he's slick and
sly. That's why they call him the snake. That's why he's a snake, because he slithers.
Had Eve believing that God was lying.
Yes. And she was the first one that he tempted. So,
yeah.
You know, and once he knew that if he get to the woman first, the husband is going to follow behind the woman.
Okay, let's look at Ephesians 6 and 11.
Okay. Okay, 6, 10, and 11. So Ephesians 6 and 11 says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Amen. And that's exactly what we have to do.
Exactly. And so mine is entitled A Fight to the Finish. It starts at 10 through 12. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything. Excuse me. I'm going to have to get some water in a minute, but right now.
Okay.
excuse me, so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way.
Mm-hmm.
This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels.
Yes.
I got to, we're going to look right at 1 Peter 5 and 8, but I got to get the water now.
Okay. All right. 1 Peter 5 and 8.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
I was trying to get it, but the time was so close, I was like, okay, I'll just wait. 1 Peter 5 and
8. Okay. So stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Yes, he does. Especially the weak-minded ones. That's what he does. He attacks the weak.
1 Peter 5 and 8 says, it goes 8 through 11, but I'm not going to read that whole thing. He gets the last word. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. I misspoke. I'm going to read the whole thing. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Amen.
Amen, amen.
So what do you get out of that?
That God gets has the last word, no matter what Satan tried to do to us, but as long as you're in God, he will protect you. And he can overcome Satan, whatever Satan have over you, as long as you have that faith and pray, God will bring you out of it.
You said it. He'll bring you out of it. So does that mean we might have to go through it?
Well, he didn't say we wasn't going to go through. So,
I'm asking you.
Definitely we're going to go through. But
if he's going to bring us out of it, obviously we're going to go through it.
Absolutely.
Okay, but that's the thing. We have to keep in mind that we're going through it. And we're not going to succumb to it. It's going to be hard.
Yes.
Certain things are hard to bear, and we may not see our way out of it, but we have to stay with Christ, knowing that he's going to bring us out of it in due time.
Oh,
and
yes.
How will we be once we come out of that?
Well, I hope that we're going to be renewed, a new creature. A new creature. Once we go through, honey, that old thing is gone.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be victorious, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll be considered an overcomer. So we went through, but we overcame the situation. And like we all know, God never said you won't go through things. You won't suffer. You won't have hard times. Mm-hmm. But once you're holding on to him and don't give up.
That's right.
Then you're gonna be an overcomer. And you can look back and have a testimony. Ooh, and encourage somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went through this, thus and such, and God was right there with me. He held my hand. He carried me, in fact. And if we look at the poem, if we look at that, we know he carried us.
Yes, he
does. You know that one set of footprints, it wasn't ours. It was his carrying us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Yeah. So,
thank you,
God. We're going to go on to first. Yeah, thank you, God. 1 John 4:4.
Okay. Okay. 1 John 4:4 says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people. Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world." Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And mine says, "My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won a big victory over those false teachers.
For
the spirit in you is far stronger than anything in the world. These people belong to the Christ-denying world. They talk the world's language, and the world eats it up. But we come from God and belong to God. Anyone who knows God understands us and listens. The person who has nothing to do with God will, of course, not listen to us. This is another test for telling the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception. So the ones who are of God will listen to us, being children of God. And the ones who won't listen are of the devil, and they don't have the spirit of truth in them.
That's right.
And we know that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Yes. They don't have that in them.
No, they don't.
They don't have it in them. Mm-mm.
And they don't
want it. So now
we're
going to go to Jude, the 9th verse.
Okay. Jude 8:9. "But even Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blaspheming, but simply said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body."
Yes. Mine goes from 9 to 11. It says, "The archangel Michael, who went to the mat with the devil as they fought over the body of Moses, wouldn't have dared level him with a blasphemous curse, but said simply, 'No, you don't. God will take care of you.' But these people sneer at anything they don't understand, and by doing whatever they feel like doing, living by animal instinct only, they participate in their own destruction. I'm fed up with them. They've gone down Cain's road. They've been sucked into the Balaam era by greed. They're canceled out in Korah's rebellion."
Wow, that is powerful.
They are canceled out.
Yes,
they don't mean a thing.
Mm-mm.
They don't even mean a thing. So
let's look
at 3, and then I'm going to stop in about 15 minutes for the homework, okay?
Oh.
The penalties for sin. A, for the unbeliever who dies without the forgiveness of his sins must suffer eternal torment in the lake of fire. Wow. Let's look at that, Revelation 20 and 15.
Okay.
So if he goes to his grave without repenting, he's going straight to hell.
Mm. Yep, absolutely. 20 and 15 says, mm-hmm. And anyone whose name was not recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm. 20 and 15, I'm trying to get it.
Okay.
20 and 15. Well, my size at 11. I saw a great white throne, and the one enthroned. Nothing could stand before or against the presence. Nothing in heaven, nothing on earth. And then I saw all the dead, great and small, standing there before the throne, and books were opened.
Mm-hmm.
Then another book was opened, the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
The dead were judged by what was written in the book, by the way they had lived. Sea released its dead. Death and hell turned in their dead, excuse me. Each man and woman was judged by the way he or she had lived. Death and hell were hurled into the lake fire. This is the second death, lake fire. Anyone whose name was not found inscribed in the book of life was hurled into the lake fire.
Mm. Yep. If your name ain't in that book, straight to
hell.
That's
right. You know where we want our names.
Oh.
In the book of life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
My patient, she used to always say that she know that her name is in God's book of life.
Uh-huh.
And she was Jewish. She was a Jewish lady. But she said...
Wow.
Yeah, she said she knows she
remarkable.
Was in heaven because her name
remarkable.
Is in the book of life. I said, well, God bless
wow.
you. I'm going to try to get
mm-hmm.
my name in that book, too.
Amen. So she had accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior?
Oh, well, no. She believed in God.
Uh-huh.
She never mentioned Jesus. It's always God. She know that,
wow.
that her name is written in the book of life because God said so. And he had two books.
Okay.
And at the end of that judgment day, them two books will be open.
Yep.
They sure will.
So part B, the sinning believer. Number one, loss of fellowship. This is about the believer. Sin brings an interruption of fellowship in the area of the sin. 1 John 1:3-6-7. Let's look at that.
1 John 1:1-3, right? 1 John is 1 John 1:3 says 2 is 3 right here. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And this one says, we saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us.
Mm-hmm.
This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy.
Mm. Mm. Wow.
That was 3 through 4. That sounds something like a Jewish patient.
Yes. Yep.
We want to share this with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And 6 through 7?
6 through 7.
Same 1 John.
Same 1 John, okay. 6. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. If we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. Mm. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another as a sacrifice. Blood of Jesus, God's son, purges all our sins. Being the light, we also experience the shared light. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
And now we're going on to a loss of joy.
Oh.
Sin causes a loss of joy.
You see that in John 15:11.
What does that mean?
It's when you're living in sin, you know, you don't have the joy, that the happiness that you would have if you were living in Christ.
Amen.
You know, and oof, I don't even want to think about not having that joy.
Wow.
Oof, I don't know how. My goodness. Lord, help me, please.
Thank God for his joy.
Amen.
God for his joy. And that's found in John 15:11.
John 15:11. 11 says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Yes, Lord. When we obey his commands. Yes.
Yeah. I told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy holy mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friend when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends, because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father.
Yes.
Very.
Absolutely. That's what he told them. That's what he told the disciples. He told them everything that what the Father told him.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see. And then we'll stop at that. This one is entitled Weak Prayer. Sin brings a lack of confidence in prayer. 1 John 3:19-22. Weak prayer. Let's see what that says. 1 John 3.
You skipped one.
I did?
Oh, yeah, we're at the loss of joy. We didn't.
I'm sorry. I see it. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I skipped too. So the loss of joy, sin causes. We just read that on Galatians 5:22.
Yes.
Let's look at Galatians
5:22.
Sorry about that.
No problem. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Praise be to God.
Amen. And that's self-explanatory. I don't have to that one.
Okay.
That is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Then number three, thank you, God, darkened walk. Sin causes the believer to walk in darkness. 1 John 1, 6 and 2 says, darkened walk.
Back to 1 John.
1 John 1 and 3.
Okay, 1 and 3. Three, we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Christ, Jesus Christ.
You read that already.
Yeah.
And so, 2:10.
Oh, is John? No, we We have weak prayer, right?
We're at darkened walk.
Oh, darkened walk. 1 John. It's
we read 1 John 1 and 3 in number 1, loss of fellowship.
Yeah. And so now darkened walk.
This is 1 and 6.
Yeah.
1 and 6. I misread it. Sorry, 1 and 6.
Okay. 1 and 6 says, so we are lying.
We read that one too. We read that one already. What about 2 and 10?
2 and 10. Let's see. 9.
Okay.
Yeah,
we have.
Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. Amen. So if you're living in the light, you don't cause other people to stumble.
What does that mean?
It means if you're living in the light, so you and they're in darkness, so you're trying to bring them into the light by telling them about the goodness of Jesus Christ.
Ooh. Say it.
Hallelujah.
Say it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. My Lord. And so 9 starts at 9 to 11, and it says, anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in the dark. It's the person who loves brother and sister who dwells in God's light and doesn't block the light from others. Wow. But whoever hates is still in the dark, stumbles around in the dark, doesn't know which end is up, blinded by the darkness. Oh, my God. Anyone who hates is still in the dark. They're stumbling in the dark. They can't even see the light.
No, they can't.
They're so blinded by
hate. They're so deep in the darkness that they cannot see the light.
Amen. Amen. So they can't see Jesus. They're so full of hatred.
Exactly.
They can't see Jesus.
And Jesus is the light, so they're living in the darkness. That's why they don't see him.
And that, to me, explains some of the things that people do that are so wicked. They are so full of darkness.
Yes.
That they can't see Jesus.
Amen.
You know? They can't fathom him. They're so full of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Yes. Thank you for that revelation.
Thank you for that, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And finally, section 4, weak prayer, which I had skipped to earlier by mistake. Okay, sin brings a lack of confidence in prayer. 1 John 3, 19 through 22. We're there now.
Yes. 19. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Hallelujah. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Praise be to God, dear friends. If we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive him from whatever we ask because we obeyed him and do the things that pleases him. Hallelujah, Jesus.
That is
beautiful, beautiful.
So beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that started in 19.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Mine goes from 18 to 24. And it's entitled, When We Practice Real Love.
Mm-hmm.
My dear children, let's not just talk about love.
Mm-hmm.
Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it.
Mm-hmm.
For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, bold and free before God.
Yes.
We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we ask for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Again, this is God's command to believe in his personally named son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. As we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us by the Spirit he gave us. Oh, glory. Thank you, God.
Woo.
Thank you,
thank
God.
You. Mm-mm. Hallelujah.
That's some powerful stuff.
Yes. Praise be to God.
Yes. Ooh, the reality, not the illusion. Whoa.
So
we're going to put a pen right here, and we'll pick it up at C, which is for the persistently sinning believer. What does that mean?
The that persistent is that you keep on sinning, even if you be forgiven, you still go back and sin again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's persistent.
Like, and this is the believer.
Yes.
This is the believer.
Because they know that God are saved by God's grace and mercy. So
they can repent.
Yes.
Of their sin. They have to repent.
Yeah.
They have to repent.
Absolutely.
And the thing is they keep persisting in doing the wrong thing, the sinning,
yes.
the transgression.
Yes.
May not be the same one, but they still transgressing against God.
Yeah, it's always a different one. You forgive it. But then sin, and then you go, and then you go and sin on something else.
Right. You avoid that one.
Forgive me.
I
repent of my sins. And then you go and commit another sin.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Yeah.
So we got to be prayed up.
Absolutely.
And focused.
Mm-hmm.
And focused. And don't let no darkness come in and cause us to stumble.
Exactly.
But you got that Satan out there trying to trip us up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sliding, he's slick, and he's wicked.
There you go.
He knows what he's doing. And he is persistent. If he doesn't get you one way, he'll try to trick you up, come around the corner, and get you another way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to
he
ever.
He
yeah.
He doesn't definitely finds different ways to get you.
He's on his job.
Yeah.
That's what he's here for, to do wickedness to us so that we can sin against God.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's happy. Then he's happy. He's done what he's supposed to do. He's glad.
Exactly.
Yes. He's glad.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, ma'am. So we're going to get to this homework assignment, and it was entitled Legalism.
Mm-hmm.
And Evangelist Timber, it's in your hands.
Who you say?
What did I say? I said, who,
oh,
you?
Oh, I thought you said, well, it's just so many of them. Okay, legalism is like, you know, excessive adherence to law or formula, meaning dependency on moral law rather than on personal religious law. And also, it's just so confusing. One is, what is legalism and why is it so bad? And that's this is coming from the Gospel Coalition. It says legalism promotes unbiblical standards, self-authority. Legalism may take things that have been biblically true, but not biblically. Then another one says,
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Repeat that again, that last sentence you said.
This one, it says, legalism promotes unbiblical standards, which means self-authority. Legalism may take things that have been biblically true, but not biblically.
That I didn't quite understand. It takes things that are biblically true, but are not biblical?
Yeah, because it says that what's the legalism definition? And E-Spirit Trail says the word legalism does not appear in the Bible. It is a term Christians use to describe a doctrinal position that emphasizes a system of rules. So that's why when I had saw that, and then that's why I was reading the one where it was saying biblically true but not biblically. And then that the other one, E-Spirit, was saying that the word legalism does not appear in the Bible. And it's saying that it is a term Christians use to describe a doctrinal position that emphasizes a system of rules.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, it's a whole lot, but I didn't want to.
Well,
I couldn't
write
that.
I mean, did you write it out or whatever?
It was too much to write out.
What
did
you write out?
The ones that I read. But, okay.
Yes, you didn't write
that's
it out.
Another one also,
hold
right?
Hold on. Evangelist, hold on one second. Let me ask a question. Did you write it out, or are you just reading something that?
No, when I went to get it, then I write it on the paper.
Okay, so you wrote it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying, read what you wrote.
I just did.
So I said you finished.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I'm trying to get. Did you finish reading what you wrote?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And I know you said it's a lot, but I'm saying, so is there more that you have written out that you're going to share? So you're saying no, you stopped there. Okay.
No.
So that's wonderful. Excellent job.
Thank you.
You know, I did some research too.
Yes.
And I went to Google, and this is what I found.
Okay.
The best way to describe legalism, strict adherence, or the principle of strict adherence to law or prescription, especially to the letter rather than the spirit. The goal of legalism is overtly to create order and a productive society. However, the real goal is to increase the power of the ruler and the control. Legalism, according to Chinese philosophy, is a perversion of holiness that masquerades as morality. Can look and feel godly, respectable, virtuous, and beneficial. This is especially true if we're surrounded with other grace killers who cheer us on. In Christian theology, legalism or nomism is a pejorative term applied to the idea that, in quotes, by doing good works or by obeying the law, a person earns and merits salvation.
Wow.
The Encyclopedia of Christianity in the United States defines legalism as a pejorative descriptor for, in quotes, the direct or indirect attachment of behaviors, disciplines, and practices to the belief in order to achieve salvation and right standing before God, end quote, emphasizing a need to, end quote, perform certain deeds in order to gain. See, okay?
Yeah, somebody's passing in the hallway, so he starts barking.
Okay.
Okay, Chico. Good boy.
So emphasizing a need to, end quote, perform certain deeds in order to gain salvation or work. Additionally, legalism pejoratively, you understand what pejorative means?
No.
Okay, that's like in a negative way.
Okay.
To put down. So additionally, legalism in a negative way refers to the view that Christians should not engage in social practices perceived as contrary to a Christian witness, such as gambling, dancing, consuming alcohol, enjoying secular entertainment, or wearing immodest clothing. Abstinence from these things is found among fundamental Baptist, conservative Anabaptist, and conservative holiness denominations, beliefs and practices. Legalism holds that human beings are essentially bad because they are inherently selfish. No one, unless forced to, willingly sacrifices for another. It sounds like they're saying something about Jesus right there, right? So many philosophies, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Zunzi, which is X-U-N-Z-I, argued, many philosophers, Zunzi, argued that people could become better than they are, not simply through laws, but by self-discipline, education, and observance of rituals. Under Shai Hung Di's reign and as emperor, those who broke the law, even though minor offenses, were sentenced to hard labor, building the Great Wall of China, which is something I didn't know, or the Grand Canal, or the New Roads, the Qing Dynasty required for moving troops, supplies. You know the Great Wall of China, they refer to it as one of the 8 wonders of the world, right?
Yes.
And so that was built by those who were being punished.
Yes.
Going under hard labor.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, this is the last paragraph. It says, later, Confucianism, which provided the Chinese culture with a more comfortable and all-embracing vision of humanity and how people could live together peacefully. So that kind of took away the legalism, talking about a way that people could live peacefully and not be held to the doctrines of, you know, so-called moral standards when it was all about power.
Yeah.
In the Chinese culture.
Oh.
All right. That's
wow,
it.
That was beautiful.
God bless you. Thank you. And to God be the glory. But like I said, I found out a few things that, you know, was really enlightening and worth the research.
Mm-hmm.
Worth the research. All right. So if there are no questions, there's no homework for next week.
Ooh. Oh, I wanted to tell you, Mother sends her regards.
Okay. How
yesterday,
is she?
She's beautiful, I tell you.
Uh-huh.
She does not look her age.
You went to see her?
Yes, yesterday. It was her birthday.
Oh, I know.
And so she was, what, she turned 86, and she said, she says, everybody tells her, oh, Miss Wiggins, you don't look 86. So I told Mother,
wow.
I said, when they tell you that, turn it around and say, okay, I'm 68.
Hey.
No. She says, no, I would not be telling the truth. I said, it's a joke, Mama.
Wonderful. I thought about her yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you got to visit her.
Yes, because, see, they kept moving her from place to place, and I didn't know where she was. She was in rehab, and she was here. So now she's in the nursing home. And yeah, so now I can get the bus, and the bus puts me right in front of the nursing home. And so now I can go, being that, you know, she's steady there, so I can go visit her more often now.
That's beautiful. I'm glad you got to visit her. I had called her one day last week, and the phone just rang. I don't know if her number's changed or whatever, but I called her 718 number, and I didn't get an answer.
She probably couldn't reach it because when we was there, she had, you know, because Mother stays on YouTube all the time now. And so she had it on the chargers, and when she have it on the chargers, she can't reach it because she's in the bed, you know, and the
light
is like behind on the side of her, but it's like in back of her.
Oh, the outlet?
Yeah. You know how hospital rooms are? They have everything like on the side, but in the back of you. You know, on the wall and back of the bed. I was like, really?
Yeah, she probably could use, I understand.
Yeah,
she probably could use a longer.
Yeah.
She could use a longer cord than a charger.
Long. Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Maybe I'll try, but then they don't make them long.
Yeah, they do. They make them in different lengths.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, I went to Target, and the first one I got was a little too long. And so, but you have to read the package to see how long it is. But they come in different lengths.
Oh, okay. So that way she could have it on the charger.
You can have access to it. What's the point in having it and you can't get to the phone, you know?
Yeah, sometimes.
But I'm glad you got to visit her, and like I said, give her my regards and let her know that I tried to reach her. I'll probably try another time, God willing. But she was on my mind because I remember that her birthday is January the 9th.
Right. You know? But see, even though her birthday was on the 9th, we always celebrated it on the 11th. That's
really?
Why I just, yeah, because that's the time that her sister, with the one that lives upstate, that she comes down to, you know, celebrate her birthday with her. So it was always on the 11th. So I never even thought about the 9th until they remind me. She says, Hilda, Monday is not Monday. The 9th is Mother's birthday, and I'm going to see her. Do you want to go? I said, yes, absolutely. Yes, yes.
Nice.
So
nice.
We met up at 5 o'clock, and then we, you know, went down where we stopped and got her some cake and some cookies.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And she said then she ate the strawberry shortcake first.
Lord.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised because Mother normally don't eat much sweets. But this time, she loved that cake, and then she had the cookies for later, so she shared some of the cookies with her roommate.
What kind of cookies did y'all get?
You know, they're like the little Jewish cookies with the little strawberry in the middle.
Oh,
they're like,
okay.
They're not sweet cookies. You know, like
the little square
ones.
Yeah, they're rectangular.
Yeah, they're round. The round ones.
Oh, they're round, not rectangular.
Yeah, they come
rectangular, looks like a
round and square. But
okay.
We got the round ones. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad.
Nadine had bought her two white dresses because she only wears white now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Everything has to be white. So
what?
Yeah. So when she was opened it up and looking at them, she said, "Oh wow, these are pretty. But where am I going to wear them?" You know.
Wow.
Well, we said like when you go down to lunch or dinner, you know, instead
right?
of like wearing the hospital clothes, nightgown and stuff, you know, dress up for sometimes.
Okay.
Even if
right.
I ain't going nowhere.
Don't they do special activities with them? Sometimes they have a guest or something to come in. So when they have some of those conferences, or not conferences, when they have those talks
when
or whatever.
And stuff that she can go. But most of the time, Mother be in bed. And Mother says she don't feel like getting up. And they don't force her to get up.
Right.
You know.
But she's doing well.
At 86 years old, and I got a fractured hip and whatnot, and you come here telling me, Miss Wiggins, you want to get up? No, I don't want to get up. Leave me here.
No.
I mean, because she enjoying her, you know, YouTube and she listens on the TV. Sometimes she watched some program. She was telling us about this program called, you know, The Hoarders.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, she was telling us about the one with the guy and the big rats. His whole house was full of nothing but rats.
God.
Yeah, and but they were his pets.
Oh,
and
really?
And you know, the thing is that the guy wasn't an old guy. He was a young guy. And he started off with just one or two. And you know how rats are. They migrate like,
wow.
And next thing he knew, his whole entire house was full of big, giant rats.
Goodness. Well, weren't they eating stuff?
Heck yeah. They ate everything in the house, man. Even his bed, they had taken the legs and things off the bed.
Oh, goodness.
I was like, of all the pets in the world, why would you want a rat?
What a rat, right? And a multiple collection of them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they when the people came to take the rats out, and if you see them, the rats was pretty. They were different colors and everything. And when they opened the wall, I mean, it was full of rats in the walls.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, I don't think I want to live next door to him.
Not really. Not at all.
But anyway.
No, I haven't watched it. I've seen a portion of it. And just turned it off. I didn't want to see that. I don't need that. You know what I'm saying?
No, when I see something like that, I just bypass it. Yeah.
Especially with rats. But I just want to change the subject for a moment. You coming to the program on Saturday, the 14th?
What program?
You didn't get a flyer from Robert about the Soul Train Band?
Well, if I got it, I didn't look at it.
Oh. Yeah, we're doing something, on God willing, on Saturday at, what time is that?
Eight to ten.
Is it eight to ten?
I got to look at, it's 8 to 10.
Yeah, at 116th.
I got to ask my sister if she want to go.
Yeah, that would be nice if you come. I'm going to be emceeing.
Oh, you are? And this one is on 16th Street?
300 West 116th Street.
Okay. Get my sister and them. Maybe I'll come down and go.
Yeah, Savannah's is the name of it. Somebody had called me while we were on the phone, and she thought it was Sylvia's. I said, no, you got to read that right. That's not Sylvia's.
It's Savannah's.
And plus, it's on 116th Street. Sylvia's is on 126th, you know?
Right.
But anyway, well, she got the understanding of it. I don't know if she's going to come or not, but I think she would be more inclined to come if it was in Sylvia's.
Because she can go and eat.
No, this is a restaurant, so you can eat at Savannah's too.
Oh. See, I've never been there. I've never been there, so that's why I didn't.
I haven't either, but I Googled it. It's a Mediterranean restaurant.
Ooh, nice.
And they have, salads with cucumbers and hummus and all that kind of stuff and chicken and, it looks nice. It looks good.
Oh, nice.
So if you like Mediterranean food, that's what they serve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I definitely want to come.
Beautiful. I'm glad I reminded you.
Well, I'm sure Nadine would have reminded me before the week is out.
Okay, well, I got in before she did, so I'm glad I reminded you.
Thank you. Absolutely.
You're welcome.
I'll be there. Definitely.
Beautiful. God willing.
It should be very nice. Yes.
It should be really nice.
God's willing and we're able.
So if you're ready to take us out in prayer, I'm going to end it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once again, we come giving you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and thanking you for this lesson tonight. Awesome lesson and also on this word legalism. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read it later in Luke 11, 37 through 54. That Jesus hated that, that word, because he kept on telling to the Pharisees and them. But anyway, thank you, Lord, for again for this day. Thank you for life, for strength, health, and understanding. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you're going to do. Thank you, Lord God, for providing a roof over our heads, food on our tables, and clothes on our backs, Lord God. Thank you for our finances to pay our bills, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you. We give you the glory, the honor. Thank you for our families, our children, our loved ones. Thank you for our neighbors, our friends, and those who are not friends, but one day will be, Lord God, and those who don't know you and those who do know you, Lord God, what and the ones that don't will say one day, what must I do to be saved? All we got to do is tell them about the goodness of Jesus Christ, what he done for us, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you.
And let our light shine.
As we leave this line, but never from your sight, Lord God, we thank you. We honor and adore you. We love you, Father. We thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us, Lord God. We thank you for the cool breeze that refreshed our skins and our minds and our eyes, that we could see, Lord God, that we could walk and taste and talk. We thank you for all those things, Lord God. We thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right minds, healing in our bodies, Lord God. So many people did not wake up this day, Lord God. But we are so grateful and we are so humble that you chose to wake us up this morning. And Lord God, we pray that you watch over us tonight, protect us from all hurt, harms, and dangers, and keep us safe, Lord God. Keep our families safe, keep our children safe, and those that we know and those that we don't know, Lord God. We ask that you wrap your loving arms around each and every one of us, Lord God, and guide us all in the way that you would have us to go. Let your will be done in our lives, Lord God. And we ask all of this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life one day. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Enjoy your night.
Thank you, God. And he's a wonder.
Yes,
and
he
God
is. He's a wonder. He's a wonder.
He's a wonder. Yes.
Yes, he is. God is a
love
wonder.
You.
Love you, too.
Kisses. Hug Chico for me.
Chico is doing so much better that, he's back to his routine.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Mm. That's good. Watching the castle.
I'm going to send you her hugs and kisses. You hear that? He licked his tongue out.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Love you, Chico. Love you, Evangelist.
Love you too, Miss Barbara. Have a good night.
You too. Stay safe. Shalom.
I will. And on that note, we are out. Good night, everyone, and shalom.
Shalom.